Let's stand for the honor of reading God's Word. We are going to be in Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, we'll start with verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we have an opportunity to come and hear from your word, and we pray that you speak to us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit, who inspired these words, begin to reveal to us your truth and speak to our hearts and minds so that we can know what you want us to know and believe what you want us to believe so we can be who you want us to be, Lord, and help us to conform our life and mold it according to your will and purpose. Help me to preach plain and clear today. Lord, I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we are looking at the season we're about to get into, this morning I want to talk to you about a prepared people, a prepared people. When we read Luke here and we see what's going on in Luke chapter 1, we realize that God is up to something. God's doing something new. He's doing something new. There's not every day when God breaks in history and does something supernatural, right? This is a time in history that was significant and special for a divine purpose. You know, there's not moments where God calls out an Abraham and sends him out. There's not an everyday moment when God raises up a Moses and sends him out. There's not an everyday moment when he sends and raises and calls up a prophet by the name of Jeremiah or Isaiah or even Malachi or John the Baptist. And what we got to realize, and what I want to help remind myself and you this morning, is that as we think about Christmas, as we think about the season that we're entering in a time where we're reflecting back on a historical event where God did something amazing and new and something special. It's a season of reminding us that God sent a messenger to prepare a people to hear from the prophet of God to declare to them a message of salvation and hope. And when we look at this text and we look at how it talks about who this man is and what's going on, we see that God is miraculously at work. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're not old enough. They're too old. They're past the childbearing years. They've given up hope, but yet God answers and does a miracle. And when the lot falls onto Zechariah, it wasn't by coincidence. It was by divine appointment. Now, the priest at that time, as they served in the temple, this was a once in a lifetime opportunity for Zechariah to serve in this manner. So I don't think it was just by coincidence that he was chosen to go and enter into the inner courts and to clean and to prepare the incense that was burning. And the incense that we know through Revelation, that the incense represents the prayers of the saints. And it tells us that the people were praying outside, and as the angel appears to Zechariah, he says, "Your prayer has been answered." And we ask and we wonder, which prayer is it? I'm sure he's prayed many prayers. I'm sure that Zechariah prayed for the Messiah to come because they were looking for that long-awaited hope. And so that was one prayer, and I'm sure that they were praying that they would have a child as well. And guess what? God answers both of those, and he says, you're going to be with child, and then this child, you're going to name him John. And he is going to be a special child. What's unique about him is that he is filled with the Holy Spirit even in the mother's womb. This is rare, rare. God's up to something. He's doing something supernatural. He's breaking into history, and he's preparing a messenger that's going to go before the Lord. Let's go to verse 14. He says, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. This child that you're going to have, Zechariah, many people are going to rejoice because of him. He will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will, and this is his assignment, this is his assignment, this is John's assignment. He will turn, he will go before him, verse 16, let me go back, verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him, this is talking about Jesus, he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. He said he is going to go in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He will be great. He is born with destiny. There is a purpose for his life. He was set apart even in his mother's womb to carry out a mission. And his mission is to make a people prepared for the coming of the Messiah. When you think about John the Baptist, you think of what Jesus said about John the Baptist. Jesus said he was the greatest of all. When Jesus was on the mountain of transfiguration, and he took Peter, James, and John up there with him, and they were praying. And as they were praying and they were having time alone, there appeared at that moment, Jesus was transfigured. They got a glimpse of his glorified state. Also, there appeared Moses and Elijah. And when they're on the mountain, Peter gets so excited, he thinks this is like the best worship experience ever that he could have in his life. I mean, he is just amazed. We got Moses, we got Elijah, you know, we got the law and the prophets, and here's Jesus. Jesus, you want me to build three booths here, and we can just stay on this mountain, we can just worship and have a great time? And a voice from heaven, the Father speaks. Now, this is rare. The God the Father speaking audibly. And he says, this is my son. Listen to him. You see, before Jesus came, God spoke the word through prophets. And in the prophets of the Old Testament, we have a series of major prophets, we call them. And minor prophets, they're all prophets. It's just the major prophets, their books are longer than the others in the Old Testament. And the last prophet to speak is Malachi. And Malachi gives a prophecy of Elijah coming. Well, Jesus says, there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the last Old Testament prophet, even though he's found in the New Testament. He is the last prophet of God that is heralding the coming of the Messiah. And then once Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus is the final prophet, he is the priest, and he is the king. And so we listen to Jesus. And so as we listen to Jesus and we follow him, as we look at John the Baptist and see what Jesus said about him, we will see that what happens here in Luke chapter 1 is a fulfillment of a prophecy 400 years ago. And so when they're walking down the mountain and they just had that experience of the mountain, in Matthew 17:10, it says, the disciples asked him, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come? And he answered, now listen, this is what Jesus says. And he answered, Elijah does come and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. And the disciples understood that he was speaking to them about John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 7, when Jesus is speaking to the people, he says, as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John the Baptist. He says, what did you go into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? He says, yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, this is what Jesus says, he is Elijah who is to come, who has ears to hear, let him hear. He says, if you're willing to accept it, John the Baptist, he is the fulfillment of the prophecy in the Old Testament about Elijah coming. Now, I always love it when I had a professor or I had a teacher that was able to, that tested me on the things that they taught me. Not on things that wasn't discussed, right? And so I had some professors, it was like they were always trying to trick you, you know? And there's some professors who would be like, I am going to test you and your exam is going to be in everything we've discussed in class, everything that you've taken notes on, that's the information that's going to be on the test. He was trying to prepare us to succeed, right? I'm glad that God gives us what he's going to test us on. So that he's not trying to trick you. And the same message that John the Baptist preached, and the same mission that he was on to prepare a people for the Messiah, is the same message that the church has today. That our job and our mission and our message is to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. Now, when the Bible speaks of the day of the Lord, there are several times in the Old Testament that talks about the day of the Lord. And when it talks about the day of the Lord, there's two things that always follow that coming. Number one, it is salvation for some. Number two, it's judgment for others. When it talks about the day of the Lord coming, it means that God is intervening, coming into history. He's bringing judgment upon some and bringing salvation to others. And so when John the Baptist comes, he is bringing a message of repentance, but also of judgment. Now, I'm not ending yet. I'm just going to get down and kind of talk to you all and get this. I know, because this, you're looking like this is a lot of heavy stuff. So let's get this going. Let's think about this. When John the Baptist came and he preached, he was a wild man, wasn't he? I mean, John the Baptist, he wore camel's hair. and ate wild honey and locust. And he would go out there and he would be preaching, "Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And there was one time when the Pharisees came at him, he said, "You brood of vipers, who told you all to repent of the coming judgment?" And he talks about how that when the Messiah comes, he is going to bring in the wheat into his barn, and he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. The chaff will be burned away, and the wheat will be brought into his barn. What's he talking about there? He's talking about those who will believe in Jesus and those who will not. Those who are prepared and those who aren't. Now let me just say this. When Jesus comes back, if you're not prepared to meet him, it's not his fault. He's giving you the answers. Let's turn to Malachi, the book of Malachi. That is the last book of the Old Testament. If you have your Bible, I'll wait for you to get your Bible out and turn and find Malachi. I know it's hard to see in here, and I apologize for that, but if you got a phone out, you can get it out, because I want you to see something, because if your Bible is like mine, which I'm sure it is, you have an Old Testament, and then you have what? A New Testament. And what we have here, now watch this, it's amazing. From here to here, well, one flip of the page, there's 400 years. From the last time that a prophet of God spoke until when John the Baptist comes on the scene. So for 400 years, God is silent. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 4, we're going to look at all of this. Let's go ahead and jump to verse 4. He tells them in the middle, "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel." He's reminding them, he's closing his prophecy, he's telling them about the day of the Lord, and he reminds them, he says, "Remember the law of Moses. You remember my word." They didn't do that. In that 400 gap that we have between our last book of the Old Testament and then our Gospels, that is when in the history of Judaism, where we get the Pharisees, where we get the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin court. This is where the Pharisees come up with all of their extra laws and their rules. This is where the Sadducees develop their own system of beliefs. And so when Jesus came and he walked and he taught, he always had conflict with the religious leaders, did he not? And what would he often say to the Pharisees? Have you not what? Have you not read? Have you not read in Scripture it says this? Have you not read? Why do you say that? Because they didn't read it very well. Because what they did is they weren't worried about obeying the law. They made up their own rules and their own rituals. So when Jesus came, they said he broke a lot of laws of God. But did Jesus ever break a law of God? No. He came and fulfilled the law. What did he break, though? Their traditions. And they're made up rules. Now, we would never, as a society, ever try to make up our own rules, would we? I mean, it's amazing to me sometimes the things that us as a church that we add to Scripture. And we try to make, you know, make extra rules apart from Scripture. And that's what they were doing. They were making up all kinds of extra laws, extra rules, extra guidelines to follow. And Jesus would come. And so here's what's been going on for this many years. They've been doing their own system, their own thing, and now John the Baptist comes in. John the Baptist is the prophet. He is the final prophet of God before the Messiah comes. He's going to come and he's going to do two things. He's going to prepare a people to either receive salvation and forgiveness, or that he will pronounce judgment upon them. In Malachi chapter 4, let's look at verse 1. "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all of the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts. so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. John the Baptist said, when Jesus was coming, that the axe is laid to the root. When Jesus came, he brought a message of hope and salvation for those who will believe in him, but he also brought judgment upon those who do not believe. He brought judgment upon the Pharisees, upon the Sadducees, on the religious leaders of his day. Mercy to those who saw him as the Savior of the world and received him as king. Judgment to those who denied and refused and rejected him. That's what happens to the unbeliever, to the faithless. Judgment upon the unbeliever, but guess what happens when he comes to the believer? Joy to the believer. Look at the next verse, verse 2. But for you who what? Fear my name. But for you who fear my name, those who fear God, those who love the Lord, those who have a heart changed by God, but those who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Joy to those who will believe. Joy to those who receive. Blessings to those who welcome the king. Jump down to verse 5. This is Malachi speaking, prophet of God, and he's giving a prophecy that is fulfilled in what we just read in Luke. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. You see that? This is Malachi, who is prophesying about who? Who does he say? Who's he reference? He references who? Elijah. Who does Jesus say is Elijah? John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And what did John the Baptist come to do? To prepare a people for the coming of Jesus the Messiah. You see that? The job of the church hasn't changed. The message of John is still the same. To prepare a people ready to meet the Lord Jesus. That this season that we're about to enter, the season of Christmas where Emmanuel, God in flesh, comes. It was a unique time in history. In salvation history, that changed the course of history, that God did something at the appointed day, at the appointed time, with the people that he chose, and he raised up John the Baptist to prepare a people. Do you realize this? I know you do. There is a day, an appointed day, when Jesus returns once again. The first advent, his coming, we will celebrate, but we also look for his second advent, his coming again. And you know what the church's job is to do what we're supposed to be doing? It's preparing people for the coming of the Lord. The day of the Lord. When did this get fulfilled in Malachi? It got fulfilled when Jesus came the first time. And just like it was foretold and it happened, the Bible also tells us that there's going to be another day of the Lord that comes. There's multiple days of the Lord, but there's two things that are consistent with the day of the Lord. It is judgment on the unbeliever, salvation for the believer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul says this, For You yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Okay? Now, when you think of the day of the Lord coming like a thief in the night, what do you think of? Something sudden. Something that could catch you off guard. Something that's quick. And so if the coming of Jesus, when he comes again, will happen suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ rise, and those who remain will be caught up together with the Lord forever. If it happens that quick and that sudden, then it's important to be prepared, would it not be? Because once that happens, it's over. You know, once the test is, once stop, test over, time, hand in your paper. Yeah, but I didn't get the other answers down. Doesn't matter. Time's up. When Jesus returns and he comes back, there's no, whoa, time out. Whoa, hold on. Let me think about this moment. Whoa. No, it's over. It's done. Turn in your papers. The judgment has come. Either pass or fail. Either you're wheat that's gathered into the barn or you're chaff that's burned. Those are the two options. That's what's going to happen. Jesus says when he brings judgment, he will separate the sheep from the goat. Those who know him and those who do not know him. And the message and the heartbeat of Living Water Church and what we strive to do and what we want to do and my greatest concern, if you were to ask me, Grant, what is the one thing that you would love to see happen at Living Water Church before the end of the year? Okay? What's the number one thing that you'd want to see happen before the end of the year? Is this, that every single one of you who sit here week after week and hear the messages would be moved by the Holy Spirit, convicted by the Holy Spirit, and that you would call upon the name of the Lord and have a true, genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because my fear is this for some of you. You're going to sit in class your whole life and still fail the test. And God doesn't grade on a curve. Just because you may be a little better than somebody else, he's not going to let you slide. And it worries me that some of you can hear the Word of God week after week and know what you're supposed to do, but yet fail to do it. There's going to be many people who think they're prepared, and they're not going to be. How do I know that? Because Jesus himself says, "For many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not teach in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name?" And he will say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And so this morning, the main purpose of the message today is to see if you're prepared to meet the Lord. That you ought to be able to walk out of this place knowing in your heart, without a shadow of a doubt, that you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that you've been saved, that you've been changed, that you love him, you love to worship him, live for him, glorify him, that your life is conformed, that you know that you love God, and you know that God loves you, and you know God, and you know that God knows you, that you have this relationship with God. Do you know the Lord? Are you prepared to meet Him? I'm not asking you if you became a member of a church. Do you know the Lord Jesus as Savior? Has your heart been changed? Has He given you new desires? And do you have a love to want to follow Him and serve Him? Do you know Jesus? Because you know why this is so important? Because there's going to be a day that He comes back. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, when He opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig trees sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves among the rocks of the mountains. The wealthy, the well-educated, every person is now hiding from this event. And they're calling to the mountains, rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who was seated on the throne. And from what? The wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? When God comes back, when the day of the Lord happens, two things happen. God's people are redeemed and saved, and those who've rejected the Lord, mocked His name, ridiculed Him, lived a life of selfishness, sin, and pleasure, and you've lived your life completely for the flesh, and you've not acknowledged God as Lord and not surrendered your life to Him, judgment comes upon you. And the question, who will be able to stand? And you know what the answer to that question is? No one. Only the redeemed. If you have never placed your faith in Jesus as Lord and never trusted in Him, you are preparing yourself for failure of the test. And there's no need to. There's no need for anyone to not be prepared. Because why? Because our message today is the same message that John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Do you realize today, I know many of you do, but do we realize that we get the privilege as a church and then as believers to share the message of salvation and hope, that they can know the Lord, they can turn from their sin, and they can call upon the name of the Lord, that salvation is offered. It's a gift. It's the greatest gift that you could ever receive. Amen? I mean, I'll say this all through this month, through the Advent. Salvation, redemption, forgiveness, mercy, grace, peace, what you receive through knowing Jesus, you cannot buy on the shelf at Walmart, and you cannot click the button on Amazon and get it delivered to your house. It only comes by bowing your knee, humbling your heart, calling upon the Lord, and receiving Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then you receive grace, mercy, peace, forgiveness, joy unspeakable, knowing that on the day when the Lord comes back, you get brought into His kingdom. I want you to be there. Our prayer is that every one of you would know the Lord Jesus. That when he comes back, that you're prepared. And so the Bible says, today if you hear his voice, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, for today is the day of salvation. Are you prepared? Do you know Jesus as Lord? Those of us who we say, yes, I'm prepared. I know the Lord. I know when Jesus saved me, and I'm so thankful. Do you have friends and family and people that you love that aren't prepared? What's your mission? To what? To prepare. So we're going to have a time of invitation. And this time of invitation is to pray. Twofold. If you're a believer, as we have our invitation, I want you to give praise to Jesus. My pastor, growing up as a kid, every once in a while, he'd say, if you haven't told God you loved him lately, why don't you do it now? And so during this time of invitation, as we sing, if you haven't told God you loved him lately, would you do that today? You can pray right there in your seat. I get it. But if you want to come to the altar, you want to come and pray, would you come and just give thanks to God? Maybe you have people on your heart that you're burdened for and you'd like to pray for them. Would you pray for them? Or maybe you need to come and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and need to repent of your sin and say, I need to give my life to Christ. I would love to talk for you. But would you be obedient? And would you allow God just to work on your heart? And if you are unsure if you're prepared or not, let's make that certain today. Because God is coming back for a prepared people. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we come to our invitation, as we come to a close, as we come to a moment of decision, a moment where we either say, yes, I know that I have received Jesus as Lord, or I'm not sure. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to people's hearts. Lord, may we have that confirmation that we know that we know that we are saved, redeemed, born again, that we are prepared, that we know what the answer is ahead of the test. And so when it comes, we've received and we're ready. So, Father, speak to hearts. There's a man or a woman today, they're uncertain, they're unsure, they don't know. Would you speak to their heart? Father, would you burden our heart with those who we love, who we care about, that don't know the Lord, and would we pray for them? And give us the power and the willingness and the ability to share your good news with those around us. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.